You're listening to Simply Grace, a collection of meaningful thoughts, ideas, and interpretations of the gospel we hope you will find inspiring and thought-provoking. Delivered from the foothills of the beautiful San Gabriel Mountains, Grace Lutheran Church in Upland, California, has been serving the community of faithful for more than 50 years and is headed by the Reverend Wesley Mankey. For more information, or if you would like to make a donation, please visit graceupland.org. And don't forget to subscribe to our podcast, Simply Grace.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 25. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to the disciples, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at the left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, 'Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food? Or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?' And the king will answer them, 'Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these, who are members of my family, you did it to me.' Then he will say to those at his left hand, 'You that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me.' Then they also will answer, 'Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty, a stranger or naked or sick or in prison, and did not take care of you?' Then he will answer them, 'Truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me.' And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Let us pray. Holy God, we know that you will come to judge the nations, that we stand before your judgment, each and every one of us. Dear God, please be merciful to us. Help us to have faith in you as our Savior. And let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you. Amen. I'm a numbers guy. I majored in mathematics in college. One of the cool things about numbers is they relate to the Bible and faith. Think about it. One, there is one God, right? Two, we know Jesus in two persons, divine and human. Three, this is an easy one, Three is what? The Trinity, the Holy Spirit, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Four. You got the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You got the fourfold form of worship. We gather, word, meal, and sending. Five. The first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch, or the Torah, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Six. I've always struggled with six. What does six have to do with God? Of course, there's an infamous number, 666, which is the opposite of God. Mark of the beast. And so truly, over the years, I've wondered, is there anything redeeming about the number six? And there is. And the six ways we can know Jesus come at us this morning. But the problem on this Christ the King Sunday, this is Christ the King Sunday, the last Sunday of the year. We remember that Jesus is the King of the universe. He will come to judge the living and the dead. He is our righteous judge. Every single human being will stand before Jesus and he will judge. Are you righteous or are you a sinner? We will all stand before his judgment. And I don't know about you, but I'm not so sure how well I would do standing before the judgment of the righteous, almighty Lord of creation, Jesus Christ. On my own merits, I'm not going to do so hot. But thankfully, the message of the gospel is that if you have faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, he will forgive your sins and give you eternal life. Amen? The problem is, some people go their whole lives and feel like, you know, I'm not sure about Jesus. Of course, that's none of us here. We all have a super strong faith. We're talking about those other people, wherever they are. But seriously, there's a part of us that really wants to know, what does it mean to have faith in Jesus? Have you ever seen him? Have you ever experienced him? Have you ever walked with him? Some of our sisters in the faith talk about having a warming of your heart, of having an experience of being slain in the faith. And if you haven't had that, some people wonder, do I have a relationship with Jesus? Do I have faith? How do you have faith in someone you can't see, who's far away? Well, thanks be to God. The good news of our lesson this morning is that Jesus comes to us in a physical, practical way so that we can meet Jesus in our lifetime face to face. We can look into his eyes and have faith in him. And the six ways that we can meet Jesus and get to know him come to us in our reading this morning. Number one, the hungry. If you want to meet Jesus, interact with somebody who's hungry. The other night, I was putting the kids to bed. We had had dinner. Sherry made a very nice dinner. Most of the kids ate it. One of the kids didn't. They were being stubborn. Dinner was over. We brushed our teeth. We put on our jammies. We went in on bed. We said the Lord's Prayer. The lights were out. We read a chapter of Harry Potter. Everyone was heading off to snooze land. And the one kid that didn't eat dinner says, "Daddy, I'm hungry. I had a glass of red wine with my name on it. I had the Netflix remote queued up to do some binge watching TV. And this kid didn't want to eat his dinner." But then I remembered these words. I was hungry and you fed me. Notice Jesus doesn't say, you know, I was a good person or I followed all. He just says, I was hungry, period. So what did I do? I went and I got some food for the child. I provided for the child. This is the way. The second way that you can meet Jesus is interacting with somebody who's thirsty. You find somebody who's thirsty, that's Jesus. So we adopted a dog a little over a year ago. I mean, not like we didn't have enough to do with five kids. Why not have a dog, right? Big reason why we have a dog is because of positive social pressure. You know who you are. But we love our dog. Our dog adds joy to our life, and it teaches the children responsibility. We say to the, my wife says to the children, have you fed and watered the dog? That's turned into a joke. What do you mean, watered the dog? You mean just pour it on him? I don't think he's going to like that. Did you give the dog something to drink? You know, I think that even when you encounter a thirsty animal, it's a reflection on our relationship with God. Do we care for animals? Is a reflection on even meeting Jesus. Watering the dog, giving the dog something to drink. How many thirsty people are in the world lacking access to clean water? Every single one of them is Jesus. The third thing you can do if you want to meet Jesus, he says, I was naked. Excuse me? Meeting a naked person is meeting Jesus? Okay, in case you're ever wondering what to do if you meet a naked person, if it's a marriage situation, that we're not talking about that today, that's fine. But if it's anybody else, give them some clothing. Give them some clothing. That's the instruction from Jesus. Anybody you meet that doesn't have the clothes they need is Jesus. So the other day, we had someone here on campus a little over a week ago. And this person let them into our bathroom, let themselves in early in the morning, and they gave themselves a bath. And if you've been in our bathroom, you know there's not a bath, there's not a shower. And so in doing so, they wrecked our bathroom. I'm not going to candy coat it. They wrecked it. And it, luckily and unluckily, it was the same day as Ileana, our cleaning contractor, was here. She was not happy. It added a lot of work to her day. When this person was done having a bath in our bathroom, they came out at the exact same time that our preschool was getting started. And they were not talking coherently. And there was some aggressiveness. And it was really difficult to have the parents that entrust us with their children feel secure and safe with the situation. So I've called in and I meet the person and we come over here, we separate from the preschool and we start talking. And she's hungry, she's thirsty. She is, as I mentioned, not lucid. I listen, we pray. She wants a Bible, we give her a Bible. She needs help with food, we give her the gift cards. See, we have these gift cards now. It was amazing to be able to do that. And after a little while, she was calmer, and she said thank you, and she went on her way. And I'm thankful that we had the resources to help this person. But I got to tell you something. As she walked away, there's an image in my mind that makes me a little uncomfortable. She didn't have shoes. She didn't have shoes. And I can't help but thinking to myself, Jesus walked away, and I didn't give him shoes. The point is, I'm not perfect at this. We all have that room to grow. How do we show our love and our faith to Jesus when we meet him every day? hungry, thirsty, naked. Fourth one, I was a stranger. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. So, speaking of numbers, I mentioned earlier the struggle with the number six, and particularly the number 666. I saw in the news, also about a week ago, that the number of children in detention centers is 666, who we don't know where to find their parents. Quite a unique number, isn't it? Now, I have no problem upholding the rule of law. I believe in the rule of law, and I believe that you should follow the rules, and immigration should be orderly. So I get that. But if we want to meet Jesus in the flesh, anytime there's a stranger, a newcomer, an outsider, a newbie, a foreigner, that is Jesus. An opportunity to meet our Lord and look at him face to face. I was sick and you cared for me. The other day I was talking to my sister. And my sister is normally a very peppy person. She's very positive. And she was so down when I was talking to her. She was just depressed. And I said, Camille, you're never like this. What's the matter? And she said, I just came back from a funeral. Oh, okay. Well, now I understand. Who died, Camille? Well, one of my best friends died, Rob. We were there to support his husband. My sister lives in the Bay Area, California. We were supporting, giving thanks for Rob's life, supporting Rob's husband. Rob was a doctor, and he contracted the coronavirus, caring for sick people, and he died from his infection from COVID-19. Rob, Dr. Rob, when he stands before the Lord and the Lord says, I was sick, did you care for me? I think Rob did. And as devastating and challenging as our current pandemic is, each sick person is Jesus. A chance for us to know Jesus personally. Finally, I was in prison. And you visited me. When I was an intern in Sierra Vista, Arizona, one of our members got arrested. And we got the phone call and he asked for the pastor to come visit. The pastor brought me, the intern. And I remember driving to the jail feeling so mad. Oh, I can't believe that he was arrested. What? That is so unfair. It's so unjust. And we got there. And we started talking with this member through the glass, and he had his phone. And this weird thing happened. The longer that we talked to him and he told us his story, the more it became crystal clear to me that he had really messed up. And there, I stopped being so angry at the system, and I started to get angry at him. Because it was clear he had broken the law and he had hurt people, and there was a reason he was there. While we were there, the chaplain, saw that the intern was visiting the jail, and he gave us a tour, told us about his ministry. And as I interacted with some of the people in those jail cells, I was thankful. I was thankful that some people who, for whatever reason, were dangerous, there was a place for them to be, and I was thankful for the law enforcement keeping us safe. And yet Jesus says, I was in prison and you visited me. He's not talking about the few innocent people who are there. He's talking about everyone. He's talking about the guilty. Eventually that man was released after a long process. And the first thing that he did with his wife was they brought their children to the church and said, we need the children baptize. We baptize the children. The thing about this passage today, it's not about worthiness. These six conditions for meeting Jesus, these aren't good people. Even back to my own child that was hungry at bedtime, they should have eaten their dinner. It's not romantic to go out and to meet Jesus. When we meet Jesus in another, we meet Jesus in a sinful person, in a person who has made mistakes at times, in a person who has broken, and yet even still, we are called to see Jesus in each and every single person we come into contact with. We call it fellowship. It's why we do church. It's why we gather and we break bread and we spend time together, and we are called to practice seeing Jesus in each and every face that you see here this morning. And each face that you come into contact with, that for you is Jesus. And to show love to that person as you would show love to Jesus. As we talk about our stewardship, the reason why Sherry and I support the church, why we pledge and we give regularly, is because we believe that the church, when we do church, when we practice faith, when we proclaim the gospel, it doesn't just save us for the life to come, it actually makes a difference in the world today. We learn how to love each other like Jesus. And that has the power to change the world. By God's grace and spirit, the kingdom of God comes into the world, breaks into the world, gives us new hope when we feel downtrodden. Jesus meets us every day in the flesh, face to face. And we are called to show our faith and our love to him. Amen? Amen. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this weekly offering of Simply Grace. Make sure to subscribe to our podcast, and if you would like to help us in our effort to serve the community, please visit graceupland.org and click Give. Thank you for listening, and we hope you join us again.